$5, a savings of $39. Let's do this. At the Build a Better Bath event going on now. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only while supplies last.
For a fast, accurate temperature reading, nothing beats the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Here's what a real Exergen customer had to say.
This works great. My doctor's office uses the same brand and recommended this one to me. I love that I can check my baby's temperature when sleeping because he stays asleep.
The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer is backed by over 50 published medical studies, more than any other thermometer, and is used and recommended by more medical professionals everywhere, giving you the peace of mind that you're getting the best. The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer.
Hosting the party at your place? Don't dial up the usual grub. Call an audible and go big with a hot nacho bar from Qdoba Catering instead. Complete with all the extras. Call 888-QDOBA to go.
Hip to be square.
This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. This portion of the show brought to you by Oric. Seven locally owned and operated Oric home centers throughout the St. Louis area. You can stop in and visit one for vacuum cleaners and other home appliances. You can see what else they sell on their website, O-R-E-C-K. That's Oric.com. I'm Paul Harris. Dan Strauss, Eon the Peon here with me. And now to talk movies and other showbiz stuff, Mr. Joe Hipperson.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Hello, Joe. Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday to you, too, Paul Harrison. May I please start this show? You're already doing the show. This is like a segment, right?
Yes.
Let me start this segment by saying thank you. A week ago today, Paul Harris decided to finally make my dream come true. And he chose for the Harris Challenge the punishment music of Sylvester Stallone.
Yes.
And I wanted to thank you for that.
From Rhinestone.
Because I've been begging for, what, 9 months? All right,
yeah.
So, yes.
What happened was I put your suggestion in the queue, and it finally came to the top last week.
Well, it was great. No, I was really excited, because I'm probably the only person in St. Louis who turned it up during the punishment music. I'm probably the only guy that did that. So that was very cool. Thank you, man.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the suggestion.
Oh, it's all good.
Before we talk about the Oscar nominations and also the Razzie nominations, let's talk about the movie that you and I both saw at a press screening this week, which is Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, the fifth in the series of movies based on Tom Clancy's character, Jack Ryan, who was first played brilliantly, I thought, by Alec Baldwin in The Hunt for Red October, then played a couple of times by Harrison Ford, then played in the fourth movie, The Sum of All Fears, by Ben Affleck, and then we had, what, a decade in between?
Yeah, because Sum of All Fears, that was 2002.
Okay.
So, we had a good decade or so before we got this one. And the question I've got that I need an answer from, or for, and that's why I'm going to defer to you, do I have to base my opinion on Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit? Do I have to base that opinion on the four versions that came before it because this is a reboot? Or do I treat it as a brand new film, never even thinking about the fact that Alec Baldwin nailed the role the first time out?
Yeah. It's hard. I was telling Ian this an hour ago. It's hard for me to see anybody else in that role and see any other Jack Ryan-related movie because Hunt for Red October was a great movie. The others were good movies or okay movies. Hunt for Red October qualifies with a capital G, great. I think if you hold any of the Jack Ryan movies up to that standard, they're always going to lose. So let's look at this one independently. What do you think of this as just a summer movie? Because a lot of people have, 10 or 12 years have gone by since the last time this character was on screen. A lot of people may not remember what the other movies were about. So look at it independently, I would say.
All right, so looking at Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit. And by the way, I'm so done with the movie title, movie title. I mean, I'm really done with it. I just am. But Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, as just a film, honestly, plays out like a halfway attempt of an American remake of Casino Royale sprinkled with the Bourne Legacy movies and
a little Mission Impossible.
A little bit of Ghost Protocol.
Yeah.
I mean, because honestly, and this, if I do it real cloak and dagger, I'm not going to be spoiling anything. Obviously, there's a good guy. He's a spy. And then there's a bad guy who's a little bit over the top, has a nice huge lair or giant high rise in Russia. The bad guy in this film is just as much a threat to James Bond, the bad guy in this movie is just as much a threat to Jack Ryan as the bad guy was in Casino Royale. And if you really think about that, and you think about the ultimate fate of the bad guy, they play out exactly the same.
Yes.
There is so much that is borrowed, stolen. out of what we've seen before, it's no shock that they originally had this to be a winter Christmas movie that they pushed into the dead zone of January, which is where it's being released. And it's being released not really up against a lot of competition. But the problem is, in my opinion, all down to the script, all down to the halfway attempt of Hollywood to reboot the Jack Ryan franchise. I don't blame Chris Pine for not being Alec Baldwin, because really, it all comes down to the story. The whole idea of a Jack Ryan... Oh, shoot. I'm starting to compare, aren't I? Okay. Independently, Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit is a very by-the-numbers spy movie that really will make you think about all the other spy movies that you would enjoy a whole lot more. I was not a big fan of Kenneth Branagh. Is it Branagh?
Branagh? Yeah.
All right. He was a bad guy once before in a movie that I still am trying to erase from my data bank called Wild Wild West. As a bad guy in this movie, he does a good job. He's also the director of the film, and I don't know if maybe he had a couple of nervous fits, but I'm really over the shaky camera during the action scene.
Not only the shaky camera, but the way too fast editing. This has become such a cliche in action movies that anytime there's a big action sequence, the director must have set up 16 different cameras, and he's going to take a shot from every one of those 16 cameras in the next 30 seconds. It's just too fast. There's no concentration on anything happening. There may be stuntmen pulling off an unbelievable stunt, but you'll never see them pulling off that unbelievable stunt in one shot. You'll see it being pulled off from this angle, that angle, the other angle, up to that. I mean, it's that fast and unnecessarily so.
No, you're 100% right. I was paying attention. There's a climax in this film towards the end. It involves a car chase of sorts. And I was thinking, all right, what's a great, great nail-biting car chase? And instantly I thought of the French Connection. And then I'm watching this car chase unfold and counting the seconds before the camera cuts to a different angle. But in this one, it doesn't. It's almost like the car chase was a car going down a tunnel, only they decided to cut out segments they decided to cut out, like, frames 10 through 15, and the camera just jumps a little bit more forward towards the car.
Yeah.
As if, oh, this is too boring. The audience, they'll tune out. No, we won't. It's the climax of the film. I'm not going to tune out.
Yeah, if your car chase is not going to keep my attention span for the 3 minutes it's going to last, then you staged it poorly.
And
exactly. You did not need to edit it faster to make me get more excited about it.
Okay, so I'm calling this a dime a dozen type of spy movie. It's hard for me not to compare it to the Jack Ryan films from before.
Should we explain anything about the plot of this movie, or does it even matter?
I don't think it matters. I will say there are two and a half areas that I'll give a bit of praise towards this film on. First area, Mother Russia is done very well as a backdrop or as the scene of everything that goes down in this film. The only reason why I point that out is because A Good Day to Die Hard sucked my life away, and it took place in Russia, and you never would have known it. But in this film, it works and it plays out, so kudos to them on that.
Well, when you say it plays out as a scenario for this to take place, that's only because you see two scenes in which they drive by St. Basil's Cathedral and the Kremlin. The rest of it takes place in buildings that were not in Moscow. They were, those exterior shots were shot in Moscow. The actors never went to Moscow. It was all done in a studio.
Very good point. But as an audience member, I'm watching something unfold in Russia, and I enjoyed it as opposed to hated the experience.
All right.
Kevin Costner has needed a really cool role for a long time. He has one in this movie. I think they didn't need to reboot Jack Ryan. They didn't need to reboot the whole thing. They should have just had Kevin Costner play Jack Ryan as an older Jack Ryan.
See, when I went to see this movie without knowing what the story was or that Chris Pine was even in it, I thought that what I was going to get was the Jack Ryan character I had seen before, who has continued to age and is now, what's Costner? Is he 60?
He's very close.
Okay. I think it would be very interesting to see that CIA analyst who's had these various adventures in his 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever it was in the other movies. Now he's 60 years old, and maybe we're not going to necessarily get the Jason Bourne action sequences of somebody being physical and chasing and hitting and punching and rolling and all that sort of stuff, but we're going to get the guy who's got it up here in his brain and can figure stuff out and be a smart spy. That's not what we got, though.
I'm glad you said in his brain. Now, I haven't done this in a very long time. If you want to read my full review of Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit, you can go to joehipperson.blogspot.com. I dusted it off. I haven't done anything in that thing for like 4 years, okay? So I put my full review of Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit at joehipperson.blogspot.com. You can read the whole thing. The one thing that I point out the character of Jack Ryan was always, I think I can say this, he was always brain with balls, okay? Mm-hmm. That's what he was. He wasn't an action hero, but he had guts to speak up.
That's why Hunt for Red October works. He's not an action hero. He's not the superhero who can take a punch and a kick in the gonads and continue to fight and go on and on and on. He was the guy who would think, wait a second, I think I figured out what they're going to do here. Okay, now, how do we counteract that?
Hey, you know what really plays out great? You look at the Hunt for Red October, Alec Baldwin gets dropped from a helicopter into the water. Not that thrilling on the page, but it plays out like a great action scene in the film. And it's done well because you're invested in his character.
Because you know he's not a Navy SEAL.
And you know he's not going to jump head first and he's going to do a handstand on top of the sub and then backflip and everything else.
Yeah.
He's weak. And you know what's great? Is in the Hunt for October, they say, well, you know, that that cocky guy that you don't really like, well, you know, he had to learn to walk again, he broke his back, all this stuff. They tell us a backstory. We see the backstory unfold in Shadow Recruit, what, on like 3 minutes? I mean, it's like a music video, everything that goes down. And then it turns into the Bourne Bond.
Yeah. There are two things about this movie that fascinated me. One, that Russia has become the movie enemy again. You mentioned it was in Good Day to Die Hard. It's been in a couple of other movies recently where Russia, for a long time, wasn't the bad guy in the movie. It was for years and years and years during the Cold War. And then it became the Islamic radicals who were the bad guys after 9/11. We had to have lots of movies where everybody, you know, even if you go back to Arnold Schwarzenegger in True Lies.
Yeah, all the bad guys had dark hair and tans.
Yes. And accents like that.
Yeah, now they're albinos again, so...
Exactly. Now we're back to Kenneth Branagh, an Englishman, doing a Russian accent, and, he's okay as the villain. How many times have I said, the villain makes these movies? In this case, the villain doesn't make this movie good.
No, he doesn't. And one thing that doesn't really work... Here we go. Spoiler territory. All right, everyone that's listening, here's a spoiler. All right? The character of Jack Ryan is a brainiac. He's a brain, okay? He's not an action hero. So he's going to react to certain situations and be kind of freaked out when the stuff hits the fan, right?
Yep.
There is a bad guy who confronts Jack Ryan in this film.
Yes.
Jack Ryan has to dispose of the bad guy. It's a spy movie. You know he's going to get his hands dirty. The manner in which he kills this guy is so intense that it doesn't match the Jack Ryan character
correct.
At all.
Absolutely correct.
His freak out after he kills the guy? Sure, in a typical movie, hey, I've got a gun, this bad guy, I shot him, I just took a life. It happened in an instant. The way he kills this guy doesn't take an instant. It takes a lot of time for him to kill this guy the way he does.
Yep.
Anyone that does that is not as, oh, gee whiz, I'm Jack Ryan, what's going on? No. It's methodical. It's deep. It's dark.
I agree.
That's not the Jack Ryan character.
What did you think of Keira Knightley as the girlfriend?
First off, Keira Knightley is hot as nails, and that goes without saying.
What does that expression mean, hot as nails?
Hot as nails.
Yeah, it's hot as nails. I don't know. Sharp. I don't know. Okay. Keira Knightley, an English woman. See, the girl's an English woman. Yeah, Kenneth Branagh, he's an English guy.
Yeah.
She's trying her very best to pull off an American accent.
Yes.
But the harder she tries, the more we realize... Wait a minute, is Keira Knightley really all that hot? I mean, you look at her, I mean, she is. She's attractive, don't get me wrong.
She's cute. I wouldn't call her hot, I would call her cute.
When she does the British accent, that's when she's hot as nails. That's when she's, you know, the character from Love Actually, she's in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, she's hot. When she does the American accent, you're like, you know, is she really all that hot? I mean, she is, she's attractive, but you notice all the flaws that you didn't notice before.
Yeah.
It's different. It's weird. It's bizarre.
You're talking about the teeth.
Well, okay.
and it's not a flaw, by the way. She's cute.
No, she's very cute.
Yeah.
But there's something about her accent. And I've gone and I've watched YouTube videos since we saw the screening. When she's speaking with her proper British accent, her teeth are always clenched. She almost talks like this, like a female Sean Connery or something. It's bizarre, but she barely ever opens her mouth when she speaks with her proper accent. When she's talking American, I mean, she's like a puppet. She's like, her mouth is huge.
Yep.
And you do notice some flaws. And by the way, I would love to thank the weather for me losing my voice during this segment. Oh my gosh, are you serious?
But I thought you loved this weather.
Yeah.
Well, I do, but it's turning on me, okay?
Yeah.
If I were going to recommend anything that Keira Knightley has ever done, I would have to recommend Bend It Like Beckham, which goes all the way back to 2002. It's a soccer movie. She was very young and cute and Very good in that. In this movie, she is just the generic girlfriend.
She is the person that is in that movie so that Chris Pine, as Jack Ryan, can have his Tom Cruise spy running through the streets screaming her name moment.
Damsel in distress.
Yeah, because we have to have the Tom Cruise run, which is what Chris Pine does, to save the girl. That's the only reason she's in the movie.
Okay, go back to Hunt for Red October. Was there a damsel in distress in that movie?
No.
No, you don't need it.
No, and did we have the unnecessary flashbacks of Alec Baldwin in the submarine thinking about, I wonder what my wife is doing right now?
No.
No, and we didn't care. What? Oh, we see her at the beginning of the movie. That's great. We establish he's a family man. That's all we need to know.
Right.
And you know what? Honestly, this movie, I really did want to like it. I like Chris Pine. He's Captain Kirk. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, but how many reboots can one actor be involved in?
Yeah, it is kind of, yeah.
He rebooted the Star Trek series. Now he's rebooted the Jack Ryan series.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Every time the guy's in a fight, he looks like a big mouth bass. Every time he's in a fight, Chris Pine's mouth just like opens. It's just so big and bizarre. Every fight scene he's in is exactly the same. I do not recommend. We saw this on an IMAX screen.
Yes, we did.
I'm sorry for the coughing and the clearing of the throat.
What do you give it on a scale of 0 to 10?
I'm just going to tell people not to see it on the IMAX screen because the Chris Pine mole is like 10 feet tall, okay? I'm dead serious. There's no hiding that thing. This is the fifth Jack Ryan film. No pun whatsoever, but I'm giving it a 5 out of 10.
I'm giving it a 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're brutal.
Yeah, well, I got no problem with him. You know what? I think Costner is what made this movie work for me as a 4. Otherwise, I think I probably... If they had done Morgan Freeman in this role...
Which they did in The Sum of All Fears.
Yeah, because he's the generic guy, or James Earl Jones, who did it in Hunt for Red October. Yeah, 4 out of 10 for me.
Really?
Yeah. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and then we'll review the Oscar nominations that came out yesterday, and the Razzie Award, the Golden Raspberry Awards, for the worst in cinema. When we come back here on the Big 550 KTRS.
And we're going to get a look at the roads right now. See how things look. Here's Tim Weiland.
Looks like we've got a disabled vehicle on southbound 94 at Highway 364 blocking the right lane. Still have traffic lights working or malfunctioning at Lime and Lindbergh. We eastbound 40 downtown Union Station to the Poplar Street Bridge. The right lane of northbound 55 slows right at Park. If you're traveling westbound on 40, the usual slowdown between Kings Highway and Hampton through McCausland, 270 through Mason. Heavy from the Spirit Overpass to the Boone Bridge. Eastbound 270, just a bit heavy now between McDonald and Lindbergh through New Florissant. This traffic report brought to you by Radio Shack. Get up to $300 when you trade in your eligible working phone at Radio Shack through 131. Details at RadioShack.com, void where prohibited. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Ahead, running is Brown in front of a pack, jams it.
Tomorrow, the University of Alabama Crimson Tide rolls into Mizzou Arena to take on Coach Frank Haith and the Missouri Tigers.
Missouri with 5.5 to play, leads by 5.
Catch it all right here on the Big 550.
Missouri takes the lead with 31 seconds to play.
Coverage begins at 12:30 p.m. and the tip-off is at 1 on the Big 550 KTRS.
Bang!
We are Mizzou.
An incredible vacation at an outstanding value from Brentwood Travel. That's what you'll find at St. Louis's largest cruise show, the 24th Annual Cruise Expo, sponsored by Brentwood Travel on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, January 24th through the 26th at West County Center. Right now is the time to get incredibly low prices on all types of cruises anywhere in the world, like large and small ships, river cruises, sailing ships. With 15 of the world's top cruise lines represented at one big show, you won't find a better opportunity to get a fantastic deal on the vacation of a lifetime. And along with these low prices, you'll find a variety of bonuses like cabin upgrades, onboard gratuities, free shore excursions, cruise and air discounts, Macy's gift cards, or even free airport parking at Park Express. And someone will win a free Royal Caribbean cruise for two just for registering. It all starts at Brentwood Travel's Cruise Expo, January 24th through the 26th at West County Center, I-270 and Manchester Road. Don't book anywhere until you've talked with the experts at Cruise Expo. Details at BrentwoodTravel.com. Some offers are for selected departures only. Restrictions apply on all gifts and promotions.
They've helped over 500 area families just like mine save their home and save money while doing it. Steve Scallon from the St. Louis Home Retention Group, why should people hire you and not try to do this themselves?
We know, unfortunately, Scott, the national percentage rate of people who are able to get this done successfully on their own is under 10%. Okay, and we're not talking about everybody out there who has all the time in the world to be able to commit to being able to save their own home. We're talking about people who are trying to spend the time that they can on it to try to save the best investment that they have in their lives. And unfortunately, 90% of them fail.
And how do they get in touch with you?
There's two ways. Best way to do is give us a call at 636-527-5121. Or you can reach us through our website at stlouishomeretentiongroup.com.
St. Louis Home Retention Group, saving homes one family at a time.
Are broken eyeglasses keeping you from seeing the action? Spectrum Eyeglass Repair has been the leader in eyeglass repair for over a decade. We can fix that expensive pair of sunglasses you thought were doomed to the glove box forever. Spectrum Eyeglass Repair carries the largest selection of pre-made polarized clip-on sunglasses and has the ability to make custom fitted clip-ons for almost any eyeglass frame. We have two area locations, Crestwood and St. Peter's. Check us out in the Yellow Pages under Optical Repair or on the web at SpectrumEyeglassRepair.com.
Illinois concealed carry licenses will be issued starting in January. Are you ready? Get training now at Metro Shooting Supplies. Illinois requires 16 hours of training. If you've already taken Metro's day one class, sign up now for day two to finish up. If you are new to Illinois training, sign up for day one and get 8 hours under your belt. Weekend classes available in Belleville and Bridgeton. Stop by and sign up today. Get your Illinois concealed carry training at Metro Shooting Supplies. BuyLearnShoot.com or Facebook.com/Metro Training Academy.
I'm working two jobs, and my husband works too. My kids go to school with your kids. I'm one out of every six Americans, and my family is struggling with hunger. I believe in this country, but it's hard to believe so many Americans have to choose between paying bills and feeding families. Visit feedingamerica.org and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for those struggling with hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The world's greatest sports trivia championship is Friday, February 7th at Rams Park. Enter your team of 10 and help St. Patrick's Center build permanent positive change in our community. Join host Kara Henderson-Sneed and Rams GM Les Sneed. You can win season tickets and other great prizes. To reserve your table for February 7th at Rams Park, 314-802-5445 or visit sportstriviachampionship.org. The Sports Trivia Championship is brought to you in part by Worldwide Technology, People Process Technology.
To reach their greatest potential on the field or on the court, Mizzou athletes need to be fueled by the right nutrition. And the same goes for the athlete within your dog. Whether striving to run that extra mile or learning to catch that flying disc, Purina Pro Plan offers fine-tuned, advanced nutrition to help your dog perform at his absolute best. Find Pro Plan today at a pet specialty retailer near you. Purina Pro Plan, nutrition that performs.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. Joe Hipperson's here talking movies and showbiz stuff. So we talked about Jack Ryan.
What
are you laughing at?
It's the music, man.
Axel Foley.
Yes! No!
Axel F.
Yes.
Axel F, yeah. Harold Faltermeyer.
Oh, well, yeah. That's a medley of Harold's hit. Right there.
The one thing I hated about this is that the same guy did the music for the movie Fletch. And if you watch Fletch...
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. If you watch Fletch, if you realize this...
Yeah.
Try and watch Fletch again without getting completely distracted and waiting for the Axel F theme to kick in, because they're identical.
No, you're exactly right. It does sound just like this. Oh, I haven't watched that movie in a long time.
Don't watch the sequel.
I saw the sequel, unfortunately. Yeah. All right, let's talk about the Academy Award nominations, which were announced yesterday morning. A guy by the name of Kevin Fallon at the Daily Beast compiled some interesting statistics about this, Joe. Jonah Hill now has more Oscar nominations than Robert Redford, James Earl Jones, Edward G. Robinson and Orson Welles.
What? Wait.
He's been nominated twice for Moneyball and now for American Hustle.
You tell me Robert Redford has never garnered more than one Academy Award nomination?
Correct, for The Sting.
What? Oh, that's ridiculous.
And people are saying, can you believe he didn't get nominated for All Is Lost? I haven't seen the movie, but listening to Frank talk about it on the air, there's a reason he didn't get nominated for that movie.
Well, he did get nominated for a Critics' Choice Award. I watched that ceremony last night. That was brutal.
That's the blue ribbon of award shows, isn't it?
Man, it was a very difficult evening.
Here are a couple other things that Kevin Fallon pointed out in the Daily Beast. Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa can now be called the Academy Award-nominated film, Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa. Not for Best Movie, not for Johnny Knoxville. It is nominated for Makeup and Hairstyling alongside The Lone Ranger. Now,
wow.
What's amazing to me about this is American Hustle, which has the comb-over for Christian Bale and all the hair for Jennifer Lawrence and Amy Adams and all that sort of stuff, not nominated for hair. But Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa, yeah, they got a hair nomination.
Well, see, that's perfect, man. When that thing drops on DVD, if they're as cool as they should be, that the DVD cover should be all about Academy Award nominated.
Yes, absolutely.
Put the statue on there and everything.
Jennifer Lawrence, 23 years old, racked up her third Oscar nomination, the youngest person ever to get her third nomination. Only one of the top 10 highest grossing movies of the year made it as a nominee for Best Picture. Do you know which one it was? I will tell you, it's not Fast and Furious 6 or Man of Steel or Thor the Dark World or Iron Man 3. Only one of the top 10 highest grossing movies of 2013 is nominated for Best Picture.
I'm going to go with American Hustle.
No. Gravity.
Ah.
No movie has received nominations in each of the four acting categories in 31 years, but now David O. Russell has managed to do it 2 years in a row with Silver Linings Playbook and now with American Hustle, because all four of the big stars in that movie are nominated as well. And just a little stat here, 6 of the 9 Best Picture nominees rated R, 3 of them PG-13. So the nominees are American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, and The Wolf of Wall Street. I've seen a little more than half of those. I haven't seen Her. I haven't seen 12 Years a Slave. I have seen, I guess, 7 of the 9. It's more than half. What do you think is going to win?
Oh, come on. Okay. 12 Years a Slave. Easy. After watching that Critics' Choice Award, which, by the way, although I did have to say through it, the Critics' Choice Award, it was very funny. A lot of the people, when they were going up there to make their acceptance speeches, a lot of them all thanked Tom Hanks because he got snubbed as an actor for the Oscar nominations, because they came out that morning.
You mean for Saving Mr. Banks?
No. He didn't get nominated for Captain Phillips.
He didn't?
No. So a lot of people were going out of their way, and he was in the audience. Like, oh, and by the way, we couldn't have done this without Tom Hanks.
Oh.
Which was really, really cool.
And he's the kind of guy who would take that.
Oh, and he rolled with it. Yeah. And it was very, very well done. But yeah. I'm going to go 12 Years a Slave just after, so far, everything that has been awarded. I believe that is the movie to beat.
Well, I'll tell you, the best movie I saw last year was Gravity. I loved American Hustle, but Gravity was a genre-changing movie, and it would be nice if it were recognized at the Academy Awards.
Well, you know, Sandra Bullock was nominated for, on that Critics' Choice, and she was nominated for Best Actress in a Dramatic Role and Best Actress in an Action Role. And she won for Gravity for Best Actress in an Action Role. But she was nominated for the same performance for Best Actress in a Dramatic Role and didn't win.
That's weird.
It's very weird.
Weird. Who do you think is going to win Best Actress at the Academy Awards? You got Amy Adams in American Hustle, Cate Blanchett, Blue Jasmine, Sandra Bullock in Gravity, Judy Dench in Philomena, and Meryl Streep in August, Osage County.
It's a lock on Blanchett.
Absolutely. I said it after I saw that movie
a year ago. Yes, you did.
Didn't I come back on this show and say, I'm telling you right now, here's your winner. The rest of the movies hadn't even come out yet.
No, you were right.
Absolutely. What about Best Actor? Christian Bale, American Hustle, Bruce Dern, Nebraska, Leo for Wolf of Wall Street, Chiwetel Ejiofor for 12 Years a Slave, Matthew McConaughey for Dallas Buyers Club.
Matthew McConaughey, it's a lock.
A lock?
Guaranteed.
You don't think that the Academy is going to give Bruce Dern an award for his entire career?
No. No, they'll give him an honorary Peter O'Toole Oscar in 2 years. He's right now on the short list to be in the next Quentin Tarantino film. You want to see his Oscar win? It'll be for the new Quentin Tarantino Western that we'll see in the next year and a half.
Why do you think Matthew McConaughey?
I just feel that Matthew McConaughey is going to take the award just because he's doing all the right PR for it. And let's face it, sometimes this game is not based on the best performance, but who's doing the best, elbow rubbing. And I think Matthew McConaughey is poised to take this award.
And Bale doesn't do that sort of stuff.
No, he frowns on it. He's not a big fan of it at all. And everybody knows what he might be like behind the scenes. And I believe that when it comes to Bruce Stern, I've already told you how he's going to get his win. It'll happen in the next year and a half. Yep. And what's the...
Chiwetel Ejiofor from 12 Years a Slave?
No, but what was the other one? There was one more that I for whatever reason, I'm thinking about me losing my voice.
Leo.
Yeah. No, see, The Wolf of Wall Street, I mean, we talked about it last week. They've got signs. No refunds for this film. It's a real split film.
Mm-hmm.
People either love it or they absolutely hate it.
Yeah.
And that's not going to win him the award. Plus, okay. He's already taken it home.
All right, what about directing? You got David O. Russell, American Hustle, Gravity, Alfonso Cuarón, Alexander Payne for Nebraska, Steve McQueen for 12 Years a Slave, Wolf of Wall Street for Martin Scorsese. That's a pretty good lineup of directors, by the
way.
No,
it is. I give it to Gravity, even though Mike Evans is like, how can you give a directing nod to Gravity? It's all computer effects. No, the director is the one who holds it all together.
Yeah, he's the one who shifted the paradigm with the way he made this movie and his vision. You know, he and his son wrote the script, but as a director, he put that stuff on the screen that made you go, wow.
Yeah, if it had been MCG, the director, that movie would have tanked. It would have been terrible. It's all Alfonso. That is your directing win.
Okay. And one other Oscar I guess we should get to. Best Animated Feature, The Croods, Despicable Me 2, Ernest and Celestine, Frozen, The Wind Rises.
Frozen.
Got to be Frozen, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's the most popular of all of those. Made more money than
it's made the most money, and it's got the best story, even though I thought The Croods was very well done.
Okay. Any others that we should get to among the Academy Award nominations?
No, unless we want to jump into the Razzies.
Okay, yeah, let's go to the Razzies.
Okay. Spoiler, Joe's going to clear his throat. There you go. Thank you. Okay. Worst Picture Razzie. After Earth, Grown Ups 2, The Lone Ranger, A Medea Christmas, or Media, however you want to pronounce
Madea.
It. And movie 43.
What is movie 43?
It is 13 different directors doing a film about the most pirated and hard-to-find movie on the entire planet that all these kids are trying to find. And while they're finding it, we see all these different stories unfold told by 13 different directors. They've done stuff like this before, like Four Rooms, four directors show four stories of four rooms. They put it into one big movie. Movie 43 is the code name online for the most pirated movie ever made that no one's ever seen.
Uh-huh.
So all these kids are trying to find movie 43, and while that unfolds, we get these 13 little featurettes or vignettes or movies, if you will, all strung together.
How is it?
It's terrible. I mean, it would be cool if, yeah, it's a real gross-out comedy with just, I mean, it makes, this is, remember This is the End? Okay,
yeah.
Makes it look like Bible study, all right? This movie is just bad. It's just really bad.
Will it win for the Razzie for Worst Picture?
I thought about this. What is the biggest insult on here? To me, After Earth had good intention. M. Night had a good intention behind this movie. It wasn't intended to be anything bad. The Lone Ranger, Johnny Depp committed, Armie Hammer really gave it everything he had. Tyler Perry does a movie every 2 weeks. So I don't even count the Madea movies. And movie 43, you can't fault that movie because there's 13 different directors going there. Grown Ups 2 is the biggest slap in the face to a film audience. We all saw Grown Ups. I'm sorry. I hated that movie. I couldn't stand watching guys that were funny laugh at each other over things that weren't funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then went back to that well and did the exact same film. It's amazing that Rob Schneider is so smart to not be in that film. That's just proof alone. A movie's bad when Rob Schneider won't even do it, okay?
Yeah, that is true.
So, Grown Ups 2 should take the Razzie. It is a huge insult, and shame on Sandler for continuing to do stuff like this to people, because he has the potential to really do good movies.
Well, based on what?
Yeah.
Based on Punch, Drunk Love, and Rain Over Me.
Neither of which made $8.
Yeah, but they were great films.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. He's in a business where you got to make money if you want to keep making movies.
He's supposed to be funny.
And by the way, I don't think he's done anything funny since The Wedding Singer. So I wouldn't say keep doing what you're doing. I'm not going to go see an Adam Sandler movie ever again the way he keeps going in either of those genres. I don't
Jack
care about the
Jill?
Guy. Yeah.
No.
I came across that on cable once.
Oh, that was hideous.
Did you at least watch it for the Pacino
scenes?
I had to.
I said, okay, I'm going to try. Yeah. I'm going to try to make it through 60 seconds of this movie. After 30 seconds, I went, nope, can't do it.
As soon as you saw him in drag?
Exactly. He walked into the room, and he's talking to himself in drag. I went, nope, we're done.
Yeah, but there's one scene that I forgive that movie for. When Al Pacino is on stage and he's performing some kind of Shakespearean play or something, and he ends up accidentally reciting all of his dialogue from The Godfather and everything. That one scene is very, very good. But it's
I'll never see it.
Yeah. But the worst,
the part of the Adam Sandler movie I like the most, the part he wasn't in.
Yeah, but then it all goes to hell really quick when Al Pacino starts rapping at the end to the Al Pacino cappuccino or something to this big song and dance number.
What did Al Pacino? What was he thinking when he took that role?
The check cleared.
Yeah. He's like, Adam Sandler's got millions.
You
got
to remember, people like Al Pacino and Robert De Niro and some of these others. Michael Caine was in this category for a long time. A lot of these guys, they want a new house, or they got an ex-wife they got to give money to or whatever it is. And, they're at a certain age where great movies are few and far between. They can't wait for the next great movie. And in the meantime,
Beverly D'Angelo. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Somebody's got to pay off. Whoever. So they take those kind of roles, and the check clears, and that's it.
All right, so in the Actress Razzie category, we have Halle Berry for The Call and for Movie 43. Selena Gomez.
She's nominated for two?
Yeah. Selena Gomez for The Getaway. Lindsay Lohan for The Canyons. This is weird. Tyler Perry, The Guy, nominated for the Madea movie.
My goodness.
And Naomi Watts for her performance in Diana and in Movie 43. So
I saw none of those movies. I can't even give you a guess here.
Well, I'm gonna say it's an easy one. I go Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah,
okay.
Because you don't want to give somebody a Razzie when they're nominated for playing Princess Di. You just don't do that.
Okay.
Selena Gomez is too young. You don't want to give her a drug addiction.
Yeah.
Halle Berry, The Call, is better than Movie 43. And Tyler Perry's a guy. So outside of the funny moment of maybe him showing up to accept the Razzie, I give it to Selena Gomez. On the actor category, worst actor Razzie: Johnny Depp for The Lone Ranger. Ashton Kutcher for Jobs.
Whoa, wait a second. Ashton Kutcher was fine in Jobs. The movie wasn't great.
Not according to the Razzies. According to the Razzies, he's one of the worst actors of the year for just that performance.
I disagree with that.
Adam Sandler for Grown Ups 2.
There's your winner.
Jaden.
I'm using the Joe Hipperson scale right there.
Jaden Smith for After Earth. Sylvester Stallone for Bullet to the Head, The Escape Plan, and Grudge Match.
Wow. Okay. Man. I take it back. There's your winner.
See, I disagree. And
of course you do. You are Mr. Stallone.
No, listen.
Have you ever known anybody who's been trying his entire life to get into Sly Stallone's will more than Joe Hipperson?
This is very true. Bullet to the Head was an embarrassment for anybody that watched it, worked on it, acted in it, doesn't matter. Escape Plan had good intentions. But Grudge Match should not be on there because I still, and will continue to say, that was a really good film.
Yeah, you're the only person not named Stallone to say that, by the way.
Well, even De Niro's distancing himself? Is that it?
Yeah. What do you think is going to win there, Stallone or Sandler?
I think they're going to give it to Stallone.
Yeah.
I don't want him to, though, but Sandler is the kind of guy you can imagine showing up to that event. I can't see Stallone showing up. Why am I blanking on the name? Sandra Bullock. Ever since she showed up to accept her Razzie, it kind of set this precedent. So now stars and actors.
Was that from Miss Congeniality 2?
Oh, shoot. It was the same year that she... No, it wasn't. It was the same year she won for the for basically the football movie, which was a remake of Wildcats or whatever the Goldie Hawn one was, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it was the same year that came out. There was another movie. It was a complete bomb. And so she accepted that award on like the eve of her accepting the Oscar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
That's cool. I noticed that in all these movies, there was no nomination for a movie that you absolutely hated because it stars one of your heroes. You didn't mention A Good Day to Die Hard once in these nominations.
Yeah, I know.
Are you surprised that there was no nomination in there?
I'm not surprised because ever since it came out that Stallone, my buddy, had to fire Bruce Willis off The Expendables 3 because apparently he's extremely greedy, he's lazy, and there's all this dirt being talked about him right now, I wasn't really shocked because He hasn't really done many interviews. He hasn't done much press right now. He's kind of avoiding things. And I'm pretty sure what they didn't want to do is erupt it. And I think they base these nominations on the people they think that might actually show up to accept it or be a part of it, because now it's all in good fun. Whereas before, they were really making fun of people. They're still doing that, but I think it's all in good fun. And I don't think Bruce Willis knows how to take a joke right now. That's my guess. But that was the worst movie of 2013, was A Good Day to Die Hard. And I can't believe I lived long enough to say that.
All right, quickly, let's get to what's happening in the club.
Okay, I am losing my voice, so...
You want to go right to the game?
Well, just give me 1 second while you say something interesting while I have some water.
Okay. I don't really have that much to say that would pad for very long here, because we got to leave some extra time for Mr. Cleveland, who's coming up in a couple minutes.
So on Friday,
you want to do Friday? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, just a couple. Jetliner Gypsy at the Demo, Living Room Lava at the Crack Fox, the Chainsaw Gentleman at Foam Coffee and Beer. Tomorrow, Wussy over at Plush, Spankalicious at 2720 Cherokee, Dirty Soap and Mother Meat at Just Bill's Place, and Pocket Change at the Highway 61 Roadhouse, and last but not least...
Okay, before you get to this, I do want to just say one more thing about the Oscars. I'm so glad Inside Llewyn Davis didn't get any nominations in any of the major categories. Because
the movie everybody's talking
about. All the critics love it. Yeah, all the critics who didn't see that The Emperor's New Clothes are not clothes at all. The Emperor is naked. I'm also glad that nothing from Lee Daniels, the butler, got big nominations. And people are going, ooh, Oprah got snubbed. Yeah, Oprah was fine in that movie. The Oscars are supposed to be for people who are great, who gave great performances. Nobody gave a great performance in The Butler, which is not a great movie. Now, on to the game.
Okay, I got 5 concerts here. 4 are absolutely real. 1 is completely made up. Here we go. Strep Boat, Saturday at Firebird. Ramming Speed, Friday at FUBAR. Cosby Sweater, Saturday at the Demo. Nipsey Hussle, Saturday at Pops. And the Barn Mice, Friday at the Schlafly Tap Room.
Dan, you go first.
Wow. Strep Boat.
Yeah. Cosby Sweater.
Strep Boat.
And 2 of you are absolutely right. Strep Boat, completely made fun of. Maybe if I didn't sound like I was suffering from strep throat.
I did it, yeah. Good call, Dan.
I'm out. Talk to you guys next week. Joe Hipperson, Big 550 KTRS, hip on entertainment.
Joe Hipperson, brought to you by every company that makes lozenges and by the fine people at Oreck. 7 locally owned and operated stores. OREcK.com is their website.
Let's get a quick check on traffic now. Here's Tim Weiland.
You know, traffic actually is not bad at all this afternoon. We just have the normal heavy spots on westbound 40 between Kings Highway and McCausland, 270 through Mason, and from Long Road to the Boone Bridge. Westbound 44, a little stretch around Elm, and then you're slow between Mraz and Bowles. On eastbound 270, heavy east of McDonald through New Florissant. Downtown eastbound 40, slowing at Union Station. Southbound 55, just a little bit of a little stretch there between Revis and Lindbergh. And this traffic report brought to you by the Missouri Lottery. Every Missouri Lottery Monopoly Jackpot Scratchers gives you a chance at winning up to $100,000 instantly and or $1 million or more with online at molottery.com. Play it forward with the Missouri Lottery. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
If meatloaf flavored chips have been the stuff you dreamed about, the folks at Lay's can make chip dreams come true without a doubt. Cheeseburgers and ice cream cones or even Brussels sprouts. Wouldn't it be yummy as a chip?
Lay's Do As A Flavor is back, and so is your chance to win $1 million. Submit your flavor ideas at doasaflavor.com.
Wouldn't it be yummy? Wouldn't it be yummy as a chip?
No purchase necessary. Entries closed 4/5/2014. See official rules at doasaflavor.com.
Live from downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment, starring Bill Cleveland along with Bruce Limpress and the All Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company, 314-652-3456. And now here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. How the heck are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you today?
I'm doing terrific. There are very few things anymore that get me excited about the writing. And last night, yesterday, the Channel 5 nonsense with them at the Kirkwood High School, I was so excited. I know I hope it doesn't come off the wrong way, but stayed up late, put together a little top 10 list, if you don't mind.
Oh, okay, yeah, we can do that.
And so we have now a top 10 other dumb KSDK Channel 5 investigations. Some you might be able to look forward to in the coming weeks. They're just maybe. We'll see here. So number 10. Is Sam's Club overcharging Mike Bush for the bulk bottles of hair gel? Number 9. Can all 85 of our weather people safely fit inside a Metrolink car? Number 8. We randomly set houses on fire to test fire department travel time.
Wow.
Number 7. Should stalking charges be brought against Channel 4 News for always watching out for you? Number 5. Excuse me, number 6. I can't count. Maybe they should investigate me. Number 6. Does Ted Drews actually use real concrete? What's that one?
Oh.
Number 5. Did Karen Foss once really pepper spray an intern for making eye contact with her?
Oh, man.
That's true, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, we have sources that can verify.
Number 4. Lisa Zygmunt spends the night in a refrigerator to discover if that light stays on when the door is closed.
That's good. That's worthwhile.
Number 3. Whose language is harder to translate? A dolphin or KTRS's John Hadley?
Dolphin.
Number 2. An important warning to parents, Dr. Pepper may not be a real doctor.
We'll find out today at 5.
And the number 1 other dumb KSDK Channel 5 investigation, how our former news director wound up with a job at Taco Bell. There you go. And I feel better about myself now.
Yeah.
I'm the only one, I guess. So, Club and Simon brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the AM and the PM cab company, and from downtown St. Louis, on Bill Cleveland on the big 550 KPRS.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right, coming up, the 5 o'clock news at the top of the hour here, and then, of course, the Harris Challenge, the most fun you can have with your radio on, and then Mike Evans, and we'll get to today's batch of knuckleheads of news. I can't tell you how excited I am about Sunday, Championship Sunday in the NFL. Really looking forward to the Patriots at the Broncos.
Oh, man.
Did you hear that Bill Belichick was asked a question about, you know, because your players will be going to Colorado for the first time since marijuana was legalized there, are you concerned that some of them might go out and have a joint? He said, I think they all realize this is a business trip, and the NFL has rules about that sort of thing. And then they asked Tom Brady, and he said, I think everybody here realizes this is a business trip, and I think the NFL has rules about that sort of thing. In other words, we really don't want to talk about this, but if you need some loose joints, we'll have them in the locker room after the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Forget about the champagne. You don't have to put plastic on the lockers when it's hot. It's 5 o'clock. This is KTRS St. Louis.
From ABC News.